Dear friends, let all the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. What a beautiful wish is fulfilled in the gathering of all peoples to be oriented towards God and to praise Him, which is really what happens when families gather around information. I'll be making a number of references to it, but I won't be directly preaching to the kids themselves like I usually would do. Many of your families heard that yesterday where we were talking directly to them. Psalm 67 is a beautiful psalm that has a song in it. Could be a missionary song. It's the true missionary spirit of God Himself kind of showing the collision between the Old Testament way of doing things and the new. Or we could even say two different ways of reaching out. The come and see and the go and tell. You can turn to page 9 and you'll see that harvest song. Couple things as we look at confirmation and how significant it is to draw it in. Mr. Herring did a marvelous job. That has been his role these last 9 or 10 years to teach our confirmation class. And if you were here in the examination, it showed itself beautifully. They snapped those answers out, and I've been doing it before him. It's amazing how in the last 5 weeks they go from just a few general answers to very specific load of answers. They did 20 minutes straight. And if you know Mr. Herring, he can talk fast. So it fast questions, fast answers, and it was beautiful to see that amount of knowledge. And you know, on confirmation Sunday, what you want to hear and your families want to hear is, bless us, Lord. We want the blessing for our children. And then what we're going to see as the Song of Israel gives way to the Song of Salvation is, bless others through us. And that's really the harvest strategy. So let's start there with the concept of Israel, bless me. The Old Testament concept of evangelism was come and see. In fact, you wouldn't exactly say that Israel were the best evangelists, would you? In fact, even under God's prescription, they were often told, separate yourself. Don't mingle. Don't marry the foreigners. Don't follow their gods. So how does that turn into evangelism? Well, it doesn't usually unless the people see that they can come to this same God. It's more stay away from me instead of come and see, but eventually you're going to, if you read all of the Old Testament, you're going to see how God's people were inclusive when people crossed over and gave glory to God. What you see is the inclusiveness of a wish or blessing, the first verse. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us. God did that through Abraham. He chose one person, well, two, of course, because the blend of Abraham and Sarah became the nation of Israel. And as you understand, God gave promises all the way in early Genesis. Genesis 12, He said, I will bless you. And all nations will be blessed through you. And Abraham didn't even have an offspring yet. So he had to trust that God would keep His promise. And amazingly, through all these centuries, there is one peoples that has never been diluted or changed or mingled in. The Jews are still the Jews today. And God has fulfilled that promise, but has passed it along, as we know, to all of us through the Son Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you, make His face shine on you and be gracious to you, was the Aaronic blessing that Israel would always receive. And you're going to find a desire to be blessed universal. Every person, every family want the blessing of God. It is just natural. They want God to smile on them. But when they came against him, as Egypt would do, trying to enslave Israel, they would find out this was a God on the side of Abraham's family. There were powerful plagues. There was waters that would consume the whole of Pharaoh's army. A few generations later, it would cycle again. Assyrians, they came down and camped against Israel at Jerusalem. And you have to understand this in the context of our modern world with many more people. 911 was 3,000 people, roughly. In one night, Sennacherib's army lost 186,000 soldiers because they stood opposed to the God of Israel. And the Philistines, very similarly, with all their raiding and everything else, they thought they could oppose this God. And to do so, they captured the Ark of the Covenant. But you remember, don't you, that when they brought it home and put it in their temple, the fish god Dagon fell on his face. They put him back up, he fell on his face and broke. But that doesn't sound like a God of outreach until you hear how he directs Jonah. Go and preach to Nineveh. Tell them they will be destroyed. And Jonah didn't want Nineveh to repent, but they did. And God was gracious. Do you remember how Rahab out of Jericho became one of the line of Christ? She was not a Jew, but included in the plan of salvation. Herself a part of the most famous family on earth. God had the way to give praise, and when we praise God, we're rightly putting him on display. He says, may God be gracious to us. And now maybe you understand the beginning origin of this is the same we would ask for our family. Bless us, Lord. But not in isolation to other people. Don't bless us more than everybody else. Bless us and make us a blessing out to others. Now, when we see that graciousness of God, we're becoming mature. It's the heart of the missionary to hunger for God, to desire Christ-likeness. Lorca of St. Patrick made this a statement, and it eventually became a song, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me. It's the same as Jesus be Jesus in me, a children's song. Form yourself in my life that others will see you. Now, when we talk about this blessing, it is what happened yesterday to the confirmants, the blessing of God. And today, as we celebrate that and they come forward and receive another blessing, the Lord's Supper, we're getting the value of God's approval, like a child looking back to mom or dad or grandma and grandpa for their smile. Now, babies are really, really good at this. They will grab your attention until you smile, until you focus. And as children get a little bit older, they get even better at it, right? We call them the center of attention. But what they want is a smile of approval. A smile is pretty easy to give and should be that of a joyful, praise-oriented congregation. The value of a smile is that it can change a person's life. Did you know that Holiday Inn were recruiting 500 new workers for their hotel system? They interviewed 5,000 candidates, and they immediately threw out almost half of them because during the interview, they smiled less than four times. In Philippians, it says, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. A face smiling is shining. And some places put it on a sun, don't they? The smiley face. In fact, Job will say, when I smiled at them, they scarce believed that the light of my face was precious to them. A smile costs nothing, but creates much. It enriches those who receive without impoverishing those who give. It happens in a flash, and the memory of it lasts so long. None are so rich that they can get along without it, and none so poor but are richer for its benefits. It creates happiness in the home. So let us not just smile here, but smile as God has blessed us to be a blessing to others. And then the song of salvation, bless others through me. The concept of Psalm 67 carries on, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. There are a couple of things here that show the blessing of Abraham now expanding. It talks about three different people groups. Amim is the plural for just peoples in general, gatherings of people in a large scale. Leo is a Hebrew word that talks about people that are associated by affinity, the people of Israel, of Syria, people groups. And then there's the Goyim, all that are not Jews. We would call them Gentiles. And that's the group that most of us fall into. And look where he placed Israel. In the crossroads of history, there were Gentiles to the north, Gentiles to the south, and they often would meet to fight right on Israel's soil. He made Israel a focal point of activity so that they would be able to share the truth. He may be doing that in your life as well. We really are secure in our rescue. This is part of confirmation, is to make sure that every student understands that Jesus is the answer. Have you ever seen that on a billboard? Jesus is the answer. Now, what was your question? The catechism method is question, scripture, answer. And one of the things we asked was give an answer for your faith. And yesterday's passage was always be prepared to give to anyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. And I use the motto of the Coast Guard, Semper Paratus, as the focal point. Unfortunately, the Old Testament peoples were sometimes stubborn. They didn't always share. Does that sound at all familiar? Sometimes we're happy just to come and go in worship. But students and students' families, you are going to be putting them into the world, whether it's high school or college. And in that world, they need a confidence of being rescued by the Lord Jesus Christ, that it is the marks in his hands that have brought the blood that writes our name in the book. It's our connection with Jesus and his crucifixion and death and resurrection that make us who we are. And they are so well taught in that that you can secure them to go out into the world and preach to all nations. This is God's heart, not to favor Israel, but to use the chosen people to be inviters of others. And in the New Testament times, this comes out as go and tell. In fact, we can understand Psalm 47 says, clap your hands, all you nations, clap your hands. And then it begins to list the different groups. Tibetans, Karen, Hmong, or even immigrants. And you know, it doesn't matter where they're from, because the gospel is for all nations. And that's the song of harvest. Verses 6 and 7, then the land will yield its harvest, and God our God will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. You can point out the Old Testament stories where God separated Israel so that he could bring out of Israel the one son that would fulfill all promises. The one who was a son of man. The one who was the son of God. But you can also then, through all of those Bible history lessons, lean into the New Testament gospel. One of the questions Mr. Herring asked yesterday is quite telling. And if you ask it early in the season of confirmation, the students get it wrong. Where is the law found? In the Old Testament or the New? They will often say Old Testament, but it's in both. And where is the gospel found? Both. Because the law brings us to the acknowledgement of our sin, and the gospel shows us our Savior. It has never been any different from the time of Adam and Eve. The Song of Harvest is, in fact, a time of great joy and celebration. Then the land will yield its harvest. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. What a beautiful song. The harvest strategy, and that is something that is a common statement in missions, is something that every mission congregation knows very well. The bigger you get and the older you get, the more you forget about it. It's intentional reaching of the lost. It's intentionalizing how a person becomes a part of us. And we're working on it at Our Savior. We're trying to be friendly. If you're here among us for the first time, we want you to be here. We want you to return. You're our guests. And God's people are still learning how to be warm and welcoming. But there's even more than that. The intentional nature means that we want you to grow if you don't know Jesus until you know him so well. You are part of the harvest that then becomes part of the harvesters. You want others to get what you have received. D.L. Moody, a preacher about 100 years ago, was pretty sharp. He was riding on a train with a young man who became really excited and emotive about going to Africa to do mission work. He had received a call and he was on fire. D.L. Moody asked him the harvest strategy question. And young man, while you were studying and going to church these past 10 years, how many souls did you bring to the Lord? He thought and said, "Why, I can't think of a one." And his question was, "Then why are you going to Africa? Do you think they're more lost there?" And the young man said, "I believe so." And he shook his head and said, "I think you need to look around you, for the harvest is ripe right here." It is. Students, you are going to be challenged in your faith. But you have been given the gift of Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know that it is God who has gone to the nth degree for us. And yes, America, it's our close field, has become a little bit hardened. They're hardened by this good life, the pursuit of the dream. And yet there are people who still are empty. They have all that they thought they would make them happy, and they still haven't found it. And even though they've substituted that and everything else under the sun for a relationship with Christ, they are still our field. The 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near." Americans are on the go all the time. And the early Christian church is the reason why it spread that within 300 years, 12 disciples became the majority of all people on earth. The Christian faith went into the majority in 300 years. That's phenomenal. Do you know how? Because everywhere they went, they told about God's graciousness, about God smiling upon them. And we who are harvest-oriented are also the harvesters. We joyfully join in line as the celebration spills out into the streets. A guy at a church conference was asked what his occupation was, and he just very quickly snapped back, "Well, I'm an ordained plumber." And a number of the pastors said, "Oh, you're a pastor." And he said, "No, I'm a plumber." But everywhere I go, I use my occupation to share good news. And he said, "You wouldn't believe how often while I'm under the sink that people start to talk to me about what I believe." Another one wrote, "Any man who has a religion is bound to do one of two things with it: change it or spread it. If it isn't true, he must give it up. And if it is true, he must give it away." Bless us, God, but not just for ourselves. Bless us that we can be a blessing to others. It is all over the pages of Scripture. That's the harvest song. It's who we are. And when we sing that song in our lives, it is unmistakable to see the harvest that God reaps around us. God be with you, confirmands, as you go out into the field and you become a part of this great song of harvest. Amen.